episodes.
It's time for our weekly conversation with NFL Network's Mike Garofolo. Powered by Redbox. Redbox has the newest movies fresh from the theater for under $2 a night. Head to the box or stream on demand. Now with Mike Garofolo, here's Puck and Slick.
All right, back into an 80s throwback Thursday, and joined by Ashley Ryan today, filling in for Jason Puckett. On the Beacon Plumbing Hotline right now is Mike Garofolo from NFL Network. Mike, thanks for coming on with us. I know you're going to miss Puck this week. I know it just might, it must just tug at your heartstrings right now. The Puck isn't here.
Very emotional. I also didn't hear any 80s music coming into the... That was just stock music you got right there? You were just running there?
I mean, yeah, it's just an open that we've got. So, I mean, we've been playing the 80s music all day. We had a little, Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go, I think, last segment. Ooh. So, we've been firing up this. We'll make... Do you have any requests for the next segment? We can make sure and play for you.
Well, my daughter likes... We talked about this last week, right? The Dirty Dancing, Time of My Life.
Right.
Which I think we then played on the air.
That was just for her.
Wham, Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go. That's her other jam, too. So we got a little 70s working in there for her.
Yep.
She's got some stuff that she likes. You know, she's bouncing around between eras.
She's well taken care of. We're like an R&B station here. We're all about the soul jams and dedications. So whatever, anytime you want something on, just let me know. we made news this morning. You made news here in Seattle. Is the news that Aldon Smith is going to be a Seahawk, at least for the near future. How did this all come together? Because it sounds like last year at the trading deadline, Seattle, they were pursuing Aldon Smith, and then maybe were told no by the Cowboys in terms of a trade, and now he comes here here in the offseason.
Yeah, I don't. The Bloom came off the rose in Dallas for Aldon Smith quickly. At one point they were extremely high on him and happy about the way that he had kind of bounced back and played despite being 4 years out of the league. Last year he had 5 sacks, came out of the gate strong, and then getting his legs underneath him, right? I mean, he's been out for 4 years. You just don't get that kind of conditioning back week in and week out. So he had 4 sacks in the first 3 games and then won the rest of the way. But, it was really impressive for a guy that had been away as long as he had. So, Seattle, I'm still thinking that he's got the shot to kind of get off to that fast start, continue that way, and play a full season now, not hit that wall that he hit. You know, you hear about the rookie wall all the time. How about the veteran 30-year-old, been away for a while, wall. He ran into that. So, Aldon Smith's a guy that has battled a lot of things, a lot of mental obstacles. And the other thing, by the way, going back to Dallas, Mike Nolan was the coordinator there to start the season. A lot of people were not happy about that. Aldon Smith was happy about that because he had history with Mike Nolan, and he understood the defense. So they tried to change things midway through. So I think that factored into it as well, because they were trying to do things to make some of the other guys comfortable. And, Aldon Smith, I know I was told saying, this is a good defense. You guys just got to believe in it. They never did. And so I think the change in defenses to Dan Quinn, which, again, they'll run similar stuff in Seattle, but the changeover in coordinators pretty much spelled the end for Smith in Dallas there.
What kind of interest did Smith have in this offseason? Do you get the sense that there were teams that just shied away because of everything that's happened in his past?
Yeah, I mean, there's teams that are, there's teams that we're not going to touch Josh Gordon the last couple of years, but we know that the Seahawks are willing to take chances on guys and show faith in guys, and their whole love them up type thing. That's their atmosphere there. That's what they try to preach and all that stuff. So I'm sure they believe Aldon Smith's going to fit in there as well. And I mentioned this yesterday. How many times do we see the Seahawks signing a former highly drafted guy or trading for a former highly drafted guy? And I just went back and I found the the tweet from last July. I don't even know who they signed at this point, but it got me rattling off. So Jamal Adams, Jadeveon Clowney, Deion Jordan, Luke Joeckel, Barkevious Mingo, DJ Fluker, Ziggy Ansah, Sheldon Richardson, Mike Iupati, he was pretty high.
Yeah.
Alden Smith. I asked the people who I forgot, and then I had people saying, oh, Luke Joeckel was terrible. I'm not saying that these guys played great in Seattle. I'm just saying it's incredible how many highly drafted guys that they brought in and give another chance to, because you know, a lot of people think that, you know, sometimes talent, if it didn't pan out elsewhere, it'll work out for you. So, you know, Alden Smith certainly falls into that realm.
How could you forget Cedric Ogbuehi?
Was that late first round?
21st overall pick.
Yeah. So this tweet said, there you go, Curtis. I'll tell you right now. The tweet starts with, the Seahawks haven't drafted in the top 15. Since 2012, but they've acquired plenty of other teams' picks in that top pick. So there you go. That's how I forgot.
And that pick was Bruce Irvin. The 15th.
There you go.
So I'm not going to challenge you.
With bringing in Alden Smith and having more of a veteran presence, and then, of course, with so few draft picks this year, one of the things we've been talking about here is how do you think that the COVID situation and the virtual practices and things like that, how do you think veteran leadership is really going to help teams this season? And do you think maybe we'll see less rookie activity in the early half of the season while people are getting more acclimated?
I thought that last year when we didn't have an off-season program, and then this rookie class had contributors coming right out of the gate. I mean, quarterbacks, receivers, positions where they say, oh, you really need to give a guy a year to get acclimated. Not only did these guys not get the year to get acclimated before they contributed, they didn't have the off-season program that's just incredibly valuable reps and time in the building for them. So that strengthened, to me, the NFLPA's case that we don't need an off-season program. You know, we can be virtual. We don't have to be on the field, and that's what they're doing right now. I know we'll get into that in a second, but listen, veteran leadership in Seattle right now is going to be needed to navigate this Russell Wilson situation. That's to me going to be the most important aspect of that right there. But I'm saying this, and then a couple of weeks ago I was on Good Morning Football, and Sean O'Hara, being a former lineman, said, well, the technique was sloppy for a lot of these guys because they didn't have the off-season program. And offensive linemen are always going to say that because they're looking at the finer points of things. But no, I think guys contributed, and I think you'll see a rookie class this year just as good, because I have heard from people that they don't feel that this draft is as strong talent-wise as some of the ones we've seen in recent years.
But to Ashley's point, Mike, the Seahawks and Broncos, they released a statement, the players do, a couple of days ago, outlining that they're not going to take part in voluntary workouts for the offseason program. Then the NFL comes back and kind of changes the guidelines. So where are we at? Like, when will we see players actually in facilities working out, doing some sort of offseason work?
I don't think the league is really going to buckle on this and change their proposal, isn't the right word. Basically, the schedule that they put out the other day in a memo to teams, they're gonna make it available. And if the guys show up, the guys show up. If they don't, they don't. I think you're already seeing some players change their minds, and they're already there working out. I mean, they're working out in the hundreds right now. And at 400, I think, was the number that we heard. That's how many players have been at team facilities just working out on their own in the weight room. And, you know, I thought the league had a strong point. Last year, the NFLPA was telling players not to gather, not to work out.
Yeah.
And they still did it anyway. And now they're going back. Hey, there you go. Okay. All right. This is very important news, ladies and gentlemen. I just got a Twitter alert.
Ooh.
My tweet that Alden Smith has signed with the Seahawks was just liked by one Russell Wilson.
Wow. You are officially huge.
Well, and actually, you don't know this.
No, this is not about me.
This is the game we've been playing.
This is the game that we've been playing. So now, what we're going to look for, will Russell Wilson welcome Aldon Smith? Has he done it already, by the way? Let's see. Danger Russ has not yet welcomed Aldon Smith to Seattle.
That's coming.
So, ladies and gentlemen,
it's coming.
Turn your alerts on for Russell Wilson.
That is awesome. See,
and get, somebody call Puck right now. Get him on the line.
He's on a golf course somewhere. He's tanning on a beach.
His ringer is on. I don't care. I'm going to text him right now.
This is perfect.
I got to follow Russ. Well, no, let me see.
He's like, let me rethink that one.
I don't go that far.
Yeah. All right. So by the end of the interview, we will double check to see if Russell Wilson welcomes Aldon Smith to
Absolutely.
Seattle.
Absolutely.
Very important on the Puck and Slick radio program.
Right, I'm gonna pull up Danger Russ Wilson right now on the Twitter.
Okay, so speaking of quarterbacks, and obviously we're just under a couple weeks away from the draft. Not since 1999, I believe, have we seen three quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3 in the draft. Do you think that will happen this year?
Yeah. I mean, the only question is if it's 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm texting Puck right now. But
you can multitask. You're good at this.
I sent him the screenshot of the tweet being like, I think we could see 1, 2, 3, 4, and I'm going to say this, and you're going to say who, and I'm going to say I don't know, but I think that Atlanta has a quarterback in mind.
Mm. Okay,
that if he's there at 4, they take him at 4. Otherwise, they either take Kyle Pitts or trade out or whatever. If it goes 1, 2, 3, Mac, here you go. Puck just replied, "Told ya." I don't know what he told you. Oh, I sent him a screenshot. What did you tell me?
By the way, not only that, but Seattle, they reached a long-term extension with the team president, Chuck Arnold. And Russell tweeted last night, congrats at Chuck Arnold SCA. So he approves of
that. There you go. So add Chuck Arnold to the list of people on his. I think you're going, Lawrence, Zach Wilson, I know a lot of people are saying Mac Jones at 3.
I don't think so.
I would at this point probably say yes, but I just feel like there's love for Trey Lance there. And my understanding is they really hadn't made a final decision and felt good about all those guys and still had some board work to do with those guys via Zoom this week to help get a better understanding of the X's and O's. So I'll say Mac Jones. So that leaves Atlanta with Trey Lance and Justin Fields. I could see them taking a quarterback. So I could see 1, 2, 3, 4 quarterbacks to start the draft.
Wouldn't be 5, would it? I mean, nobody would move up to make it 5, would they?
No, because we've all talked about Cincinnati's history of not trading, which is just weird to me, but whatever. I mean, 1991 or 92, and it was a second round pick the last time they traded.
That's like me in fantasy football, though. I never make trades, so it's fine.
That's why you can't be in my league.
What the weirdest. Like, have you never wanted a player so badly that you're like, I got to get up 3 spots to get. Like, why do you not? It's just so weird that they have a policy against trading.
Mike, it extends beyond the draft, doesn't it? Like, wasn't the trade at Dunlap here like one of the first trades that they'd done in season and like forever, too? Like, it's not just a draft thing with them.
And I remember John Ross, like, during the season last year. I don't think he ever really, maybe he did. He wasn't going to request a trade because he already knew what the answer was going to be. I mean, it's really weird. So they sit at 5. They're obviously not taking a quarterback. So there's your guaranteed quarterback buster right there. A lot of people think that's going to be Jamar Chase and not an offensive tackle. We'll see. If they're sitting there and Pitts is there too, I mean, I know that's high for a tight end, but this kid is incredibly special from what I gather.
Talking to Mike Garofalo of NFL Network, courtesy of Redbox. Mike, this whole Aaron Donald thing, like, I'm just trying to envision a scenario where I would actually throw hands with Aaron Donald, and the list of things that would create that situation is very, very short. So I'm just trying to figure out how something escalates to that point in any situation where you look at Aaron Donald and be like, well, this is where I'm going to, this is the hill I'm going to die on.
I don't know. I've heard different, obviously the people that are close to Aaron are selling a different story about what happened and his involvement or lack thereof.
Mm-hmm.
according to them. Standard procedure in these type of situations. But Aaron Donald's just got a look in his eyes that you don't want to mess with, right? So I don't know what led to that. I don't know what situation very early on in this one. We'll see where it goes. But Aaron Donald's a phenomenal player, and you hope that there's no off the field shenanigans. If a guy's got to defend himself, something like that happens, you got to do what you got to do, right?
Well, this guy's saying he just bumped into him. I mean, there's no way Aaron Donald is losing potentially everything because someone bumped into him.
Yeah, I would hope not. I would hope not. But Aaron Donald has buddies and friends, and who knows who did what. So we'll see.
And then jumping down to Houston for what seems to be our weekly Deshaun Watson update. So what one of the lawsuits, one of the plaintiffs, I guess, has dropped out, which, originally you think, oh, maybe that's good for Deshaun Watson. But then reading a little deeper, it sounds like they were asked to all be named and she maybe wanted to stay anonymous, which is why the lawsuit was dropped. Is that the read you're getting on that right now?
Yeah, and it's a for now designation, meaning it could be revisited. And, this is something that all these women are struggling with. Do they want to really upend their lives in a lot of ways by coming forward here? There's a tweet from Sarah Barshap, who covers the Texans, from a half an hour ago that I'm just seeing right now. It says the final of the 22 lawsuits filed has been amended with the plaintiff's name. So we're up to 20. I guess it's 22. It could be 23. I'm having trouble keeping count here. I think that's what it is. So the 23rd one now is the one that was dropped for now. I think that, Deshaun Watson's camp, his attorney, Rusty Harden, probably had a hope in his mind that the number would dwindle by a lot more than one. By playing the hand that he played this past week. So, we're kind of where we were last week with Deshaun Watson, which is it's just not a great-looking situation right now.
I'm on Russell Wilson's Twitter right now. I'm going to do a refresh. And there is officially no tweet that he's put out there welcoming Alden Smith. But he does have that like that you discovered on your own tweet. So we appreciate your contribution to our little game that we play with as the rest turns.
I guess we got to go back and see, did he like the tweets about the offensive lineman that he didn't tweet out himself?
Yeah.
Or, I need a spreadsheet.
That's investigative stuff. Like, yeah, you're good at tracking the stuff down, too. You have a mind for this.
Are you really going to try to guilt me into doing the spreadsheet? I think that's what you're trying to do right now.
Look, that's up to you. You brought it up. I'm just saying I don't oppose it. I think it might be a good idea, and I know that this is the kind of thing that you can pull off, Garofalo.
I think I just wrote a check with my mouth that my butt's going to have to cash right now.
I support this.
Hey, Redbox is writing the checks for this segment, so we appreciate them, and we appreciate you, Mike. Thanks for stopping by once again.
You got it, guys. Have a good one.
Talk to you next week. Mike Garofalo there from NFL Network, courtesy of Redbox. And, Excel spreadsheet, that works for me.
Yeah.
I mean, let's get to the bottom of this, and he's just the guy to do it. When we come back, a different and special tweet of the day comes your way next here on Puck and Slate.